But we've been looking at prophecy, or the reasons for prophecy in the scriptures, and we've been looking at things in general terms, and now we're going to, in the next few weeks, look at some specific things. But before we do that, let's come to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing to be upon us. Father, we thank You that, Lord, You have not just created us, but, Lord, You have revealed Yourself to us through Your Word. And, Lord, You have not left us without a knowledge of You, a knowledge of what we are and what we mean to You, and, Father, the plans that You have for us as well. And, Lord, as we stop and consider Your Word this morning and the things that You have revealed in it, I pray that we would be encouraged and, Father, also stirred up within our soul to realize that, Father, You are a God that we need to love and to honor and obey. And, Father, this is Your Word that we need to seek diligently and spend time in. And so I commit this time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. When you study God's Word, you'll see that there are what we call many prophetic themes. Themes where God prophesies about certain things. There's themes like Christ, and you can see Christ all throughout the Scriptures and how He prophesies, how there's prophecies about Christ throughout the Scripture. There is a theme of judgment and judgment to come. There is the theme of kings, and you can study and see wonderful prophecies about that as well. There is a theme of rewards. There's the theme of cities. There's lots of places or various things where God has made prophecies about certain things. And what I intend to do in the next few weeks is to look at some of these prophetic themes in the Word of God. And what I hope it does is encourage each one of us to see that what we have here is truly the Word of God, and it should motivate us to live differently and to be excited about what God wants us to do now and what He has planned for us in the future. And today what I want to do is look at prophecy concerning the kingdoms to come. And we're told in the Word of God this. It says in Isaiah, God says, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all My pleasure." Here God says that He is able to tell us what's going to happen at the end from the very beginning. And so before it even happens, He can tell us what is going to happen, and He will make it happen as well. Now, if that's the case, does that mean that God can also tell us which nations are going to rise up in the world, and then which nation may come up or will come up and take over that nation, and then it will rule the world, and then another nation will come up and so on? Can God do this sort of thing? Well, the fact is, He can. Because He's sovereign, He can first of all make it happen. He can raise up nations and He can bring them down at His will. He knows the future. He's all-knowing. And so He knows what's going to take place. And in His Word, God has plainly prophesied about various nations that will rise and fall. And the blessing that we have for the majority of these prophecies is that we can sit back and look back into the past and see how these things have come to pass just as God told us they would. And I know that for myself, this is probably one of the greatest encouragements I have to realizing that this Bible is truly the Word of God. You know, some people say, well, how do you know this is really God's Word and not just the thoughts of men? Or when you see prophecy and how it's been fulfilled, and particularly in the area of nations, I find personally encouraging, when you see how God can tell us the future in regards to those things, and makes you realize, hey, this is truly the Word of God. And this is something that we should truly listen to and take note of. Now, in the Word of God, there are many prophecies about future nations. And I started in my preparation going through some of the minor things first. Then I realized, wow, this is going to blow out to a few weeks just this if I do that. So I've compacted it. For example, God told Abraham that a great nation would come from him. That was when he was 75 years old and his wife was 65 years old and they weren't able to have children. He says, a great nation is going to come from you. How's that possible? That's prophecy. But we know that Israel is still here today. That prophecy was fulfilled. And you can look at examples like that throughout the Word of God and see how God foretold various nations. But what I'm going to do for today is stick to the prophecy that God gives where it deals with the five major nations that God has revealed to us will rule the world. God told us that there would be five major nations or kingdoms that would rule the world. And so we can see how this is unfolded. And this is found in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 8. Now you can turn there in your Bible, but I'm going to look at put a lot of the scripture up on the screen this morning just so you can see it as you hear it read if you don't look on in your Bible and just see how it unfolds. You know, we know that Israel became a nation and they had kings and so forth, but we know that because they chose to disobey the Lord and worship idols, God did raise up various nations to chastise them. And then finally, God raised up the Babylonians, and they went and they destroyed the city in many regards, and they took thousands of people back to Babylon. And we know that one of the Jews that was taken back to Babylon was that young man Daniel, a man that loved the Lord and wanted to serve the Lord. And the Lord did great things through this young man Daniel. And also for us, the blessing is God showed Daniel many things. And we stand in this wonderful position where we can look back and see how many of these things have unfolded. In Daniel chapter 2, we're told that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He was the king of Babylon at the time, and it disturbed him, but he would not tell anybody what the dream was. We know the story. And he gets all his magicians, and he says, look, I had a dream. I want you to tell me what the dream was, and I want you to tell me what it means as well. And none of them could tell him what the dream was, let alone what it meant. But then we know that God revealed this dream and the interpretation of it to Daniel. That's found in Daniel chapter 2, verse 26. I'd like to read that. You can read on either on your Bible or up on the screen, but it says, King answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers and magicians and soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known thee what shall come to pass. And we see in verse 31 it says, thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. The great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till the stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the earth. So that's what King Nebuchadnezzar saw. He saw something like this, probably a little bit fuzzy back there, but he saw an image, the head of gold, the torso of the chest and so forth, of silver, then brass and iron, and then there was a stone that came down and destroyed the image, and then from that came a great big mountain. And so that's the dream that he had. And Daniel gives the interpretation of this dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he explains to him how this dream is speaking about five kingdoms to come that are going to rule the world. And Daniel tells him how the four parts of the image that he saw represented four actual kingdoms. The image represented four of these five kingdoms. Let's look at the first one. Daniel says, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." And so Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar, when it comes to this image, it's a picture of kingdoms that are going to rule the world. And Nebuchadnezzar, the good news is, you are the first one. The head is a picture of you and your kingdom of Babylon. And we know from history that the Babylonians ruled most of the known world at that time for around about 66 years, from 606 to 539. And so that was the first part of the image. But then Daniel says this in verse 39, "And after these things shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee." And so Daniel says to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, after you, though, king, after the Babylonians, there's going to come another kingdom that will be inferior to you. And that is represented by, obviously, the silver. Now, we know from history, as we can look back, that there was another great nation that took over the world, basically, after the Babylonians. The Babylonians were overthrown by, really, it was two nations joined together, and that is the Medes and the Persians. And we read about this in God's Word as well as history books. You can read that in Daniel, how the Medes and the Persians came and they destroyed the Babylonians. And that happened in Daniel's time. He actually saw the next piece of the prophecy unfold in his lifetime. And so as the Medes and the Persians are coming up to destroy them, I'm guessing he's thinking, yep, this is exactly what God said would happen. And we learn from history how that the Medo-Persian monarchy lasted around about 208 years. So obviously Daniel didn't see it right through. He only got the first little part of that empire. And it lasted from 539 BC to 331 BC. And that's represented by the silver. It's interesting how this kingdom was made up of two nations, really. The Medes were dominant first, but as time went on, the Persians became the dominant nation in this kingdom. And they were a lot stronger than the Medes, but they sort of took a while to come to dominance in that kingdom. But it's interesting how that kingdom was made up of two major nations. And we see here that with the silver, there are the two arms, which I believe is a representative of the two parts of this kingdom as well. And so Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar there would be a kingdom after his. It wouldn't be as great in the sense the Mede and Persian Empire wasn't as rich as the Babylonians, but it certainly was a lot more fierce, and the army dominated a lot more. Now, after this, it says, if we get back to verse 39, After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass shall bear rule over the earth. And so Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar that after the second one will come a third kingdom. And the brass is a picture or represents that third kingdom. And so we see there, that looks more like a pot or something, but that's just focusing in on the brass part there. And the records in history tell us that in 331 BC, the Greek armies destroyed the last Persian king during a famous battle, which I'm sure we all know of. It's so famous, the Battle of Arbela. Ever heard of it? No, I haven't heard of it either, all right? But it's famous to people that look into history. I'm sure the Greeks know of it anyway. And the Greeks saw a wonderful victory there by their powerful first general or first king, and everyone's heard of him, King Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was leading this campaign. And so the Greek Empire was established. History tells us this. After the Medes and Persians came another great nation called the Greeks. And we're told that the rule of the Greeks covered far more territory than the Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians. And the Greek Empire of Alexander lasted around about 163 years. And so from history books, we know after the Medes and Persians came the Greeks. Then it says this, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise." And so Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, the fourth part of your image or your dream, which is the legs, which were made of iron, that is a picture of a fourth nation, King Nebuchadnezzar. And this nation is going to be fierce and it's going to be strong, just like iron is as well. Now, we know from history that in around about 168 BC, it was the Roman Empire's turn to rule the world supreme. And from what we know of the Roman Empire now, iron perfectly pictures this kingdom. When you look at their military strength, when you look at their dominance over the world, when you look at how they had such discipline and so on, every aspect of the nation of the Roman Empire is portrayed perfectly when it comes to iron. They were a very fierce nation. And the kingdom really... I forgot to put his legs up there. But the kingdom of Rome, or the Roman Empire, lasted for around about 650 years. So this was a very dominating empire. And everyone knows and learns about the mighty Roman Empire. And so it went through the time of Christ up until around about 476 AD, the year of our Lord. So, what we have seen so far is this. God told Daniel that Babylon would rule. And that wasn't really a prophecy because Babylon was ruling at that time. But then he says, after Babylon will come another nation. And then after that nation will come a third nation. And then after that third nation will come a fourth nation that will be strong and fierce. Now, if you're like me, I'm sitting back and thinking, well, that's pretty vague, really. I could probably guess that after Babylon, another nation would come, and probably another nation after that, and probably another nation after that. Although we can look back in history and see how that has unfolded, there's no specific names given, all right? Couldn't God really actually tell us which nation would actually come after Babylon, not just be so vague? Well, if we only had Daniel chapter 2, you'd have to leave it there, wouldn't you, and think, well, yeah, we can see how it unfolded and all fitted together, but it was a little vague. But the wonderful thing is, in Daniel chapter 8, the names of the second nation that would rise and the third nation that would rise are actually given to us. That is revealed to Daniel before their time actually came to pass. And so what we need to do is skip over to Daniel chapter 8, and to see how God has revealed three of the four nations that he said would rise. This came from another vision that Daniel had, and he had this vision while the Babylonians were still reigning. Nebuchadnezzar had gone, and now it's Belshazzar. And we know what happened to Belshazzar. He was the last king of the Babylonians. But it says there in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. And so Daniel saw this vision. There was a ram, it had two horns, but one was higher than the other, but the highest one came up last. And as I told you, when it came to the Medes and Persian Empire, the Medes were dominant at first, but then the Persians became dominant, far more dominant later on. And it says there, and I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. So he saw this ram, which became great. But then he saw a rough goat in his vision. Let me read it to you. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. That means it was running very fast. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. And so we see that this ram, this wild goat, I should say, destroyed the ram. Like such. And we read on in verse 8, and it says, therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And so Daniel saw this vision. There was this ram taking over the world. And then this goat with a huge big horn at the front came and destroyed him. And then when this goat had great power, that horn was broken off and four came up instead. Now what we see here is a prophecy of the two kingdoms that will come after Babylon. Medes and Persians and then the Greeks. And what happened was this troubled Daniel, but thankfully an angel came down and told Daniel what it meant. And this is what we read. This is what the angel says to Daniel. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. Now this is before they had come to reign. They weren't reigning at this time, Babylon was. But the angel says, what you saw were the kings of the Medes and the Persians. And so the next kingdom that was to come was Medes and Persians. Verse 21, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, the Greeks. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. And so the angel says that after the Medes and the Persians, they're going to be destroyed by the Greeks. And we know that was the case. And the angel says that big horn that you saw was the first king. Now, who was the first king? Alexander the Great. And what happened to Alexander the Great? He took over the world quickly, and that's what it said. The goat didn't seem to even touch the ground. And then when he was in the height of his power, what happened to him? He died at a very young age. It was broken. And then it says in verse 22, now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his own power. And history tells us that once Alexander the Great died, that his four generals took a slice of his kingdom and reigned instead of him. And so that's what Daniel saw in that dream. And so, just to put that all into context, we have from joining Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 8 this. God has said that there will be Babylon reign. Then after Babylon, God has said the Medes and the Persians will reign. And then after that, God has said the Greeks will reign. And then God said after that, a fierce nation will reign. Now, the fierce nation is never mentioned, but we know who that was. We know that were the Romans. Now, if I haven't confused you yet, let's get back to Daniel chapter 2. You're confused down there, are you? Oh, did I? Sorry. A spelling mistake. Just to make my wife happy. Daniel chapter 2. We're back there now. We're going down the image and we got to the feet. And it says in Daniel chapter 2 verse 41, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it of the strength of iron, and for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." And so this is what he saw at the bottom, and that is, there was a mixing of the iron and the clay. Now that's a little bit harder to understand. And I'm not going to stand up here and say that I totally understand it myself, but that we don't need to worry about that for today. Because what we see from the prophecy in Daniel chapter 2 is God told Daniel that there's going to be four major kingdoms. But the fifth one wasn't going to come straight after the fourth. But after the fourth, there was going to be a mixing of the nations. There wasn't going to be any true domination of nations for a while. There was going to be a mixing of nations before the fifth one came along. And so, we see here, there was going to be Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greeks, a fierce nation, and then a dividing of the nations. And brethren, that's where we are now. You know, we can look back and we can see how all of these things have come to pass. And we are not even in the fierce... I've spelt fierce wrong again, have I? Sorry. We're not in the fierce part anymore either. We are in the mixing of the nations part. And since that fierce nation, there has not been a dominating nation to come. And so we can look back for the last 2,600 years and we can see that Daniel's prophecy as he spoke to Nebuchadnezzar has come exactly true. Now the good news is the prophecy didn't end there, if you can remember. There was a fifth nation that was to come, or a fifth kingdom to come. And so the prophecy found in Daniel chapter 2 hasn't finished yet. It hasn't been completely fulfilled. We read this in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. "In the days of these kings," that is the 10 kings represented by the toes, which we won't really go into, "shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever," it says. "For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and their interpretation sure." And so, the last part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream was that there was going to be a stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands that will come down from heaven and destroy the iron, the silver, the brass, the gold, the clay, destroy everything, and will set up its own kingdom, become a mountain that will last forever. And this kingdom will be established by God himself. And so the exciting thing is there is still one major kingdom to come out of this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. It's not finished yet. You know, we're told in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." You know, in that dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, that last kingdom that came with that stone destroying everything was a picture or foretelling us of Jesus Christ's kingdom to come. That's a blessing. We're told that he'll come out of the heavens and he will destroy all the other kingdoms. You know, this is not a mystery. We're told in Revelation about this. We're told in Revelation chapter 19, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." You know, this tells us the time when Jesus will come back to earth. He will destroy the nations of the earth and he will set up his own kingdom. And brethren, I trust you can comprehend that. That all the kingdoms that Daniel spoke about have come and gone except one. We're still waiting for that one. You know, those in the Persian Empire who were looking ahead and saw that dream would have had to say, well, there's still some more nations to come yet. You know, even those in the Roman Empire that were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they also had to realize, hey, when they look at Daniel's prophecy, well, this fierce nation still had to end, and there has to be the mixing of nations for a time as well. But for us, we can't look back on or look forward to anything else but the coming of Christ. We can't say, well, the fierce nation still has to come. It's come and gone. We're in the very last days. When it comes to this prophecy, there's only one thing to come, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the fact that those four kingdoms came just as it was prophesied about gives me complete confidence that that fifth kingdom will surely come to pass. You know, as Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar, he said this, "The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter." He said, he's told you what's going to come. And the dream is certain. And the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel says, this is what's going to happen in the future. The dream certain, and what I'm telling you as the interpretation is sure. And we can look back in history and see that it has truly been sure. And that brings hope in that wonderful joy of knowing that Jesus Christ is coming again. We should be looking forward to that last kingdom to come. I get excited about that. Is this all real? Just look at fulfilled prophecy. It has to be real. There's no reason to doubt. And so the question is, are you ready for that kingdom of Christ to come? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful example of what you have planned for us in the future still. And I pray that we would take courage from this, and Lord, be diligent and look forward to that wonderful day when our Saviour will set up his kingdom upon this earth and we will have the blessing of reigning with him. pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.